issues with parties and making sure that when you file your merger documents that you have properly identified all the parties to the transaction. You want to make sure that the parties to the merger that are listed in your plan are all included in the certificate of merger. You also want to make sure that all of those parties have signed off on the certificate of merger. Even if they're a non-code organization, all the parties must sign that certificate of merger. If one of the parties to the merger is a Texas limited partnership, kind of going back to one of the points made previously, you want to make sure that the general partner signing on behalf of that LP is the general partner listed in our records for that LP. So that's one key thing just to remember out of this is if you've got a limited partnership involved, make sure that your Secretary of State records are clean and correctly show who that general partner is and who will be signing on behalf of that limited partnership. We do check for that. Amended and restated certificates of formation with regard to mergers. So in our Form 600s, as you guys know, we try to maintain several forms to make transactions easier with our office. The merger forms are in the Form 600s. Within those forms, there has to be an indication of whether or not certificates of formation are being amended, restated, or amended and restated. So, thank you. I'm not real good with the whole slide thing. Sorry about that, guys. So when you're looking at that form, you want to make sure that you correctly indicate what combination of things that you're going to be including with the merger. So just pay careful attention to Section 3 of that form. The default is going to be you're not doing either. You're not amending and you're not restating. But if you're doing one or the other or both, then you want to look at your other options here and be careful to check the correct one, because when we review these, we are looking to make sure of consistency between what you said should be attached and what is attached. And some of these options do require you to include the additional information. Parent and subsidiary mergers. Again, we have a short form available when you are working with a merger of this sort, but you cannot use this form if the parent to the transaction is not going to survive the transaction. You can only use the form if the parent is the surviving entity. There are different requirements as listed on the slide as to what is required for this sort of a transaction to occur. At least one of the parties does need to be a Texas filing entity for this to be filed with our office. There are a couple of pretty common reasons for rejection for these short form mergers between the parent and the subsidiary. Failure to attach a copy of the resolution approving the merger from the parent company is one of those. Be sure and attach that. You also need to make sure that you include in the documentation and the date that the resolution was approved in the form. It's not good enough just to attach it. We're not going to assume and we're not going to fill anything in for you. You have to attach that resolution, but you also need to complete the form and tell us the date that the resolution was adopted. A divisive merger. So prior to joining the agency, I had a business background, business exposure, and when we were doing our training on mergers, when the divisive merger came up, I have to tell you that I thought that my boss was joking with me. Because to me, divisive and merger do not belong together, right? And so I'm like, okay, how's this going to work? Well, in fact, it does exist in Texas, which shouldn't surprise me. We are different in a number of ways, for sure. So we do have a form in a situation where you have a divisive merger, and that's just one to many, right? That's going from one to more than one. And that's Form 621. Again, we encourage use of the form and reading the instructions and the tips that are included in those forms when you're filing the documentation. There can only be one Texas entity at the beginning of the transaction, and it has to be a Texas entity. Then it can split into two or more entities at the end of the merger. That's fine, but you start with one and you go to many. You cannot start with a foreign entity. That's not, by definition, that's not an acceptable divisive merger for filing with our agency. Mergers. Now we're going to talk about conversions. We have several tips to share with you today about conversions. Mainly, if you don't want to include the plan, and there's some reasons why you might not want to include the plan, and in that case, you do have to include alternate statements. It's required statutory requirements, and our document examiners are going to be checking to make sure that you have included those alternate statements in your filing documents. There is also language required under Section 3.005A8 that must be included in the certificate of formation of the converted entity. Statement of the entity is formed under a plan of conversion. That's very important to notify the public. That must be included in the documentation. And then there is certain contact information that must also be included about the converting entity. This is kind of like divisive mergers for me, and so I apologize if I use converted versus converting entity in the opposite ways. Just rely on the materials, and you'll be fine.